blessed day to you all and a very warm welcome to the Grey Lead Cafe podcast brought to you by Frontinus Limited. Frontinus is a communications consultancy focused on engineering, infrastructure, sustainability and research. With you today is Angie Musa, political scientist and teaching associate at Cambridge University, and I'm very honored and pleased as always to be accompanied by Mr. Anthony Haynes, creative director of Frontinus. Greeting, Mr. Anthony.
Hello, Angie.
So our topic for today's edition is dissertations and books. And by dissertations, we also mean thesis. So we will use the terms as synonyms in that context. And we really are interested in asking how do they differ, like books and dissertations, and how can an author move from one to the other and so forth. So to start, may I ask you, Mr. Anthony, what is the relationship between dissertations and books?
Well, I would say they look similar. They look similar kinds of animals. I mean, comparable length. I mean, let's say for argument's sake, a couple of hundred pages, give or take, lots of expository prose divided into chapters and so on. So they look similar, but in fact, I think there are some crucial differences between them.
Interesting. And what would be the first difference?
I think the first difference is to do with purpose. So I would say a dissertation actually has two purposes. One is what I call, these are slightly fancy terms, but I would call the first one epistemological. That's to say, the idea is that a doctoral researcher should produce some new knowledge, something that people didn't know before, and they're making a contribution to the world's knowledge. And the second purpose is anthropological, which is the person writing a dissertation wants to achieve a higher degree. And now, when you're reading a book, you don't actually care about either of those things. I mean, whether the book adds to the world's knowledge or not is not a concern of a reader of the book. It's whether it adds to their knowledge that matters to them. And whether they've done enough work on the book to deserve a degree. Well, when I read a book, I don't even think about that. I just assess the book itself. So I think the purposes are quite different.
Well, I really like the distinction between like the reader's knowledge and the overall knowledge of the world. That's so interesting. Wow. And what would be the second difference in that context?
I think the second difference is the difference in the readership. With a dissertation, the harsh truth is that very often it's about two readers. The examiners, who you hope will read it, although you hear worrying stories, and maybe the supervisor, and often that's about it. And then the partner or the spouse of the author pretends they've read it, but they haven't really because it's too dull. So the readership of dissertation is very small in number, and it tends to be people who are expert and probably reasonably specialist as well. And they're obliged to read the thing. Once they've taken on the job of being an examiner, they have to read the thing. With a book, the audience is likely to be very much larger. I mean, even monograph books will probably reach a few hundred people at least. And no one has to read the book. They don't have to. And even if they start reading it, they can always give up reading it. And they're probably much more diverse in terms of readership. So you might have people from different disciplines reading the book. You might have someone from no discipline at all reading the book. You might have a novice or an undergraduate or professor. So usually they end up in more diverse hands than a dissertation does.
Absolutely true. And yeah, you mentioned three differences. So what would be the last difference between books and dissertations?
I think there's a difference in structure. And the way I like to image that is to think about the difference between a detective story and a newspaper article. So a whodunit, you know, classic murder mystery, you find out right at the end when Inspector Poirot or whoever the detective is gets everyone together in the library and reveals who the murderer was. So the big bang comes at the end. And dissertations are a bit like that in the sense that you know here's the conclusion, you nail your contribution, this is what this thesis has contributed, that comes at the end, and that, you know, that follows from the fact that the readers are obliged to read it. So you can make them wait to the end. I think with a book, it's much more like, you know, I imagine this is still the case. I think journalists used to be trained to begin articles with the really important facts, like who did it, where did it happen, what happened, when did it happen, and so on. And trained to try and get that very early on in a newspaper report, preferably in the opening paragraph. And I think books are a bit similar. that they need to get off to a cracking start. Otherwise, no one's going to persist with them precisely because they don't have to. William Germano has written a very good book on this subject, and he says you need to write a really cracking first chapter. And actually, you really want a chapter that makes sense on its own, even if they don't read the rest of the book. It tells some story.
Oh, very insightful. Yes. So if an early career researcher wants to publish their graduate research, how should they go about it? That's like the concern of every single PhD student, I would say, right?
Well, that does depend on the discipline they're in, actually. There's some disciplines you kind of not really worried about a book, but with someone such as yourself in the social science area, yes, that's quite a common concern. It also depends actually on the academic culture that they're in, the national culture, this academic system, whether writing a book is important for career progression or not. But okay, let me answer the question. I think there are three options, really. One is, well, make the dissertation available as a dissertation. There is one caveat there, which is you need to check you've got copyright permission for the things you need copyright permission for, and you're not infringing any non-disclosure agreements and so on. So there's an intellectual property constraint. Yeah. But provided that's okay, you can just make it available online. You can do that on your page in academia.edu or ResearchGate or whatever. And most universities these days have online repositories, and you can ask them to put your dissertation online. And that's a perfectly respectable way of disseminating the knowledge. A second way is to make it available by writing short forms. So you can use your dissertation as a bit of a quarry, if you like, for quarrying for shorter publications. And that might be conference papers, journal papers, or it might be grey literature forms, such as briefing papers, for example. And then the third way is to write a book, which would probably be a monograph. So that phrase is very well known amongst publishers. It's not always known amongst authors. By a monograph, I mean something which is written by an expert and which is unashamedly displaying its expertise.
If I may, before asking another question, just in terms of like option one and two, so making the dissertation publicly available or using bits of pieces of it in other ways, does that like compromise into doing the third option of a book, particularly like the first one of publishing a dissertation, or we think that these are kind of two separate phenomena in that respect?
That's a good question. I would say, first of all, the idea of publishing shorter forms, I don't think that compromises you at all in terms of writing a book. Well, there is a special case in which it can, but normally it's a good thing. Okay, so when I was working as a commissioning editor, if I found that people have written a journal article or two, I thought that's a good thing because, first of all, it showed they actually get round to writing. They don't just talk about it, they actually do it. And secondly, it suggests that their name is probably out there, and that's good for marketing. And if a journal editor has accepted your paper, that's comforting because it tells me someone else thinks your work's good. So the special case would be if you've written, you know, five papers, maybe there's not much left to put in the book because most of it's out there. But I think one or two papers would normally be seen as a good thing. You should always be very upfront about these things in a book proposal, incidentally, and don't leave it as a surprise. Tell people where you're publishing things. So far as the first one's concerned, generally speaking, making your dissertation publicly available wouldn't compromise the book, unless you're trying to sort of pretend you've written a book, but actually it's really just a warmed up version of your dissertation. But that's a bad thing to do. So I'd say don't do that. Can be a case where it could be a problem if you publish a dissertation and then want to publish a paper, if the paper is very close indeed to one of the chapters, because then a journal editor could say, well, actually, you know, we exist to publish new knowledge, fresh knowledge, and actually you've already done that. So that there can be an issue there. But generally speaking, it's not really an issue in terms of book publishing.
Excellent. Okay. So supposing that an early career researcher or maybe kind of recent graduate will go ahead and write a book. So they made that decision. What should be the first step that they will take?
The first step might surprise people. I would suggest just leave it a while, partly because you're probably a bit fed up with it because you've probably been writing fairly intensively for months and you just want to have a break from it. But also, having a break from it means you will come back and see it with a fresh pair of eyes, which you will need to do if you're going to produce a book which is not just, as I say, just a warmed up thesis. So leave it a while is the first thing.
Okay, so you take a break, you come back. What's then?
The next thing is to select a target publisher. So have a look at who's publishing books, probably monographs in your area, and have a look at which publisher seems most suitable for you. So let's say, for argument's sake, it's Manchester University Press, and they've got a series which your book would fit into. Well, then have a good look at the books in that series and think, because that will tell you what works for that publisher. You know, what kind of length do they go for? How many chapters do they tend to have? What kind of titles do they have? Do they include figures? Well, how many figures do they include? You know, just kind of get a feel for what works for that publisher. And then what you can do is produce a book proposal tailored to that publisher. But what I would say is there's something to do before you produce the book proposal.
And any particular tips on that?
Well, in terms of producing a book proposal, I would say think through what the book's going to look like and work through an algorithm. So I think there are three questions to ask yourself. The first one is, what are you going to cut down or cut out? This is massively important. It's actually psychologically extremely important. If you're going to let go of the idea that you're just publishing a dissertation, and you're going to climb into the idea that you really are going to write a proper book, actually taking stuff out of a dissertation is really important. And no PhD student likes me saying this, but let's be honest, probably quite big stretches of your thesis are a wee bit boring and no one actually wants to read your detailed methodology and so on. So cutting stuff out is very healthy. The second thing is, what are you going to change around? And I mean partly structurally, resequencing things, but I also mean in terms of style. What are you going to change in terms of style? And then I would say, what are you going to add? And actually, people often find that quite refreshing. Like sometimes the stuff that you would have liked to have covered in your thesis, but for one reason or another, you couldn't do that. I remember working as a literary agent where I sold a book to Edinburgh University Press on behalf of an author who'd written a doctorate. And one of the reviewers suggested adding quite a big kind of chunk of stuff. And she, the author said, yeah, actually, that sounds like really good fun. I'll do that. And it had a happy consequence because near the end of the process, the publisher's editor checked the university website of the author and realized that she'd written a PhD on the subject. And she got a bit panicky and said to me, this book proposal, it's not just the thesis. We're not just publishing the thesis, are we? And I could say, well, no, we're not. And actually, if you think about it, you know we're not, because your reviewer suggested we should include this section, and we've put an entirely new section in, so it can't possibly be the thesis.
Excellent. To be fair, the part of kind of algorithm sounds really, really interesting. The word itself, kind of using that terminology, is quite interesting in the context of producing a book. But you gave us that example of the researcher who the publisher suggested a new area and they were very excited about it. But maybe can you give us a bit more tips into really how kind of to cut down, how to add, how what to change? What is a mentality to take when going through that process?
Well, I'll say two things. The first mentality is do it genuinely. Like I want to stress, if all you really want to do is publish a thesis or just publish it as a thesis and don't pretend it's a book. So you have to genuinely want to produce a different kind of animal. And sometimes people sort of think, oh, well, I'll cut the references down because I hadn't read all the references anyway. And I'll take the methodology chapter and I'll make it into an appendix. And this is all a bit cosmetic. That doesn't work. Okay. That doesn't cut it. So I think the mindset has to be, no, I'm genuinely trying to do something creative here. I think the other big thing I go for is write the book with a personal voice. So the reader feels like they're in conversation with someone or listening to someone. Now, some PhD students actually do write a thesis with a personal voice. But even when they do that, I mean, it's within certain kind of constraints of what's considered to be good academic style and so on. And quite a lot of students write theses with a rather impersonal voice in it. And so if you are voluntarily reading a book, because remember I said no one has to read your book, it's not an obligatory thing to do. Let's supposing it takes, for argument's sake, let's say 8 hours to read the book. No one wants to read spend 8 hours in the company of a robot. You know, you want to feel like you're in the company of a human being and you feel the character and you get their take on things. So I think developing a voice, and that's one of the most fulfilling things, actually, about writing a book based on your doctoral research.
Yeah, definitely. I think it works like both ways. As you said, the reader is really interested kind of in hearing something personal a bit, or kind of knowing about the author, as you know, about the topic. But it also, correct me if I'm wrong, it's also interesting for the reader to feel that they take ownership actually of the material rather than just presenting it kind of in terms of crude knowledge to the reader.
Yes.
So I think it works both ways. Okay, so I must admit you shared a lot of so many vital things today, but for someone who's eager to learn a bit more and to actually put what you have kindly shared today into practice, what resources would you recommend people who have written dissertation or people who have kind of want to turn their research more generally into a book?
Well, there are actually a number of good, I think, very good resources. And I mentioned three that I think are particularly good, but there are others. I mentioned William Germano earlier, who's very good at seeing things from a publisher's point of view and from an author's point of view. He does both. And he wrote a book published by University of Chicago Press called From Dissertation to Book. As I always say at this point, we will put all the references into the show notes. So that's William Germano. The second one is by multiple authors. The lead author is Eleanor Harmon, and that's called The Thesis in the Book, and that's published by Toronto, University of Toronto Press. The third one I'd mention is by edited book, actually, by Beth Louie, called Revising a Dissertation, which is University of California Press. And that's a bit different from the others because some of the chapters are actually discipline specific. You know, there's a chapter aimed at social scientists and a chapter aimed at scientists and humanities people and so on. So that's quite rare that people give that sort of more precise advice. And then immodestly, I'm going to mention a chapter I wrote. I published a book, Cambridge University Press, called Writing Successful Academic Books. And let me explain why I mention it. I wrote a chapter just called Dissertations, and I think it's 10 dozen pages long. It's not very long, so you can read it quite quickly. Mm-hmm. And actually, there isn't a single original idea of mine in that chapter. What I've done is read the books that I've just mentioned, plus a few others, and I simply tried to synthesize their insights. So it's like a quick guide.
Wow. So I would say if someone want to go quick, they go with your chapter then. But if someone have the leverage of time, then they will hopefully cover the three books. And just on a funny note, I would say that the first tip you gave us for someone who want to turn their work into a book is to get away from their from dissertation. So like, we are not gonna stay lazy, right? So they have three books to cover on how actually to do what to do next. Yeah. So plenty of things to do in the meantime.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Mr. Anson, for today's episode. It was very, very insightful and enriching. Thank you as well.
No, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you, Angie.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening. This was Angie Musa with Anthony Haynes. Grey Lit Cafe is edited by Dr. Bart Hallmark and produced by Frontinus Limited. Frontinus specializes in grey literature forms such as proposals, publications, papers, and reports. The music is from Handel's Water Music, courtesy of the United States Marine Band and Marine Chamber Orchestra. See you next time. Bye.